Amen. I sure am thankful for the goodness of our God. And great day today. And this is the kind of day that pastors love because we say, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow Sunday afternoon. See, this is the kind of day. We love it. And the days that we hate are those Saturday night, early Sunday morning snows. So we could get 3 feet, be fine with me, over the next 24 hours. I'm fine as long as it starts like tonight. But take your Bible, Nehemiah chapter number 4. Nehemiah chapter number 4. Today is all about, and this entire month we'll be unveiling our theme for 2025. But it's kind of weird to say that, 2025. Anybody written out by accident 2024 since the new year? Yeah, it's happened. But 2025, as we start a new year, it's easy to start thinking about things that we would like to accomplish. Maybe new goals. Maybe it's a fitness goal. We started our diets, or maybe you're starting tomorrow. Maybe it's a new job. Maybe it's a relationship status that you'd like to see change for the better. Maybe it's a life change. But we all look at a new year as a fresh start, every single one of us. You know, it's a chance to look at where you've been, see some things that you look in the past and say, you know, I don't really like those things, or some things that I'd like to change, in a way to kind of start over. You see some things in the past versus the present, and you see, man, how could I enact change that would affect the future? You know, the story of Nehemiah is a story of change. The people had been living in exile in Babylon, and that time period was coming to an end. But when they came home, they found Jerusalem in ruins. They remembered the good times that they had. They remembered all of the celebrations and all the feasts and everything that was good about their homeland. But what they saw in front of them was not good. Everything that was on display around them was discouraging. And they agreed that change had to take place. They had a new leader in Nehemiah who was leading them, pointing them in the right direction, trying to get them back to where they were and trying to get them to draw their attention back to the Lord, but that was going to take time. And all that was good, but while it was good, they had opposition along the way. And there were some in the community who were not happy with their decision to follow the Lord. We're not happy with their desire for change. We're not looking at this as a positive. When we get to chapter number 4, Nehemiah recognizes that there are people around who are not happy. He addresses the opposition, and then he turns to address the people. And for sake of time, we're going to start at verse number 13. And he gave them this very specific challenge. After talking to the opposition, after talking to the Lord, he goes back to the people with this message, and it's our theme for 2025. He says, we just need to return to the wall. We need to return to the wall. You know, if your life right now is full of uncertainty or disappointment or unknown circumstances, the best thing that you and I could do is simply go back to what the Lord has called us to do and return to the wall. Fulfill our purpose, what he created us for. So it's easy for us to get sidetracked, to see everything going on in the outside of the walls, and for us to see all of the opposition that's against us and be distracted. But remember, he created us for a purpose, and we cannot fulfill that purpose if we're not focused on that purpose. So this morning, let's look at Nehemiah chapter 4, verse number 13. Over the next several weeks, we'll expound on this, but just to give an overview today, verse number 13. Therefore, Nehemiah, therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles, to the rulers, the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. And it came to pass, when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, here it is, that we returned all of us to the wall, everyone unto his work. In 2025, we're going to be talking about returning to the wall. And what does the wall look like? And what is your personal wall? Where has God called you? And so let's start this morning by praying, and then we'll dive in to how that applies to us. Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you so much for your word. Lord, please speak to our hearts. Lord, please show us what we stand in need of. And Lord, on this big day for our church, Lord, the first Sunday of the year, and Lord, the new schedule and classes and groups coming back in, and Lord, lots of moving parts. Lord, behind the scenes, things going on, and new technology being used today. Lord, it's so easy to allow that to distract us from what you want to say to us. Lord, I ask that you would please help us to hone in for these next few minutes and hear what you have for us collectively as a church, but then, Lord, also individually as those who have made a choice to follow you as their personal Savior. Lord, please draw our attention to yourself. Lord, please forgive me of any unconfessed sin in my heart and life that would hinder me from being used this morning. And Lord, just please show us how we can draw close to you. Lord, not just individually, but collectively. We love you so much, and thank you for showing your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're taking notes, I want to give you three things. How do we return to the wall? Number one, we need to remember what we're fighting for. We need to remember what we're fighting for. Nehemiah, when we get to verse number 13, he positions these people all along the wall in very specific locations around the wall. But what were they trying to protect overall? Two things that we see. Number one, they're trying to protect their faith. Their faith. And this is an internal battle. This is something that nobody sees how we fight for our faith, because it's internal. They were the people of God. They knew the history. They knew what their reputation was. They knew what their God's handiwork, and they had seen God's faithfulness to them. They knew how God had worked in and through their nation, their lives, but they'd been disconnected for 70 years. Think about it, that's a lifetime for a lot of people. Some people went to Babylon, died there, stayed there, were buried there, and never got to come back home. But this one group of people, this smaller group of people, got to come back. And when they came back, they saw signs of their decaying faith every single day. Every day they went outside, they saw the rubble, they saw the broken down wall, they saw the burned gates, they saw all of the handiwork of their own decision making on display. And it was a reminder that they had failed. That their faith in their God had weakened to the point that God had to show them who he really was and his desire to be close to them. Let me ask you this morning, right out of the gate, how strong is your faith today? How strong is your faith? Because I think sometimes we think that our faith has to be this, you know, mountain-moving faith. And man, I have to have enormous faith. But the Bible said, remember Jesus said to the disciples, you just have to have faith the size of a grain of a mustard seed. A grain of a mustard seed, and you can move mountains. So it's not this magnanimous faith. It's not this huge pile of faith. It's simple faith. It's simply trusting him at his word. See, it's easy for us to come to church and to sing the songs and to talk the talk, but what are we doing internally to strengthen our faith? You think about a New Year's resolution for fitness. You know, a lot of people have already started. You know, no sweets, no bread, no pasta, no soft drinks, no coffee. You've already made those distinctions. You know, some of you guys, you've already fallen off the wagon. And just get back on. Just get back. It's okay. Just get back on. But we think about all of these things for fitness. And we see, you know, we've all heard the old adage, if you keep doing what you've been doing, you're going to keep getting what you got. You know, we've all heard that. And if you plan to be stronger, you need to do something different than what you've been doing. You think about Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know, if I want to have big muscles, it's not going to happen with these weights. All right? This is a start, but it's not the end goal. And some of us come into 2025 and say, you know what? I don't even know how to start. But I want to look like this, or I want to be like this, and I want to have this great faith, and I want to be able to trust the Lord so I can follow Him wherever He sends me, whatever He leads me to do. I want to follow the Lord. Where do I start, Pastor? You start small. You start small. You don't have to, hey, don't worry about picking up 500 pounds. There's a guy in our church just a few weeks ago who deadlifted 700 pounds. I've seen the video. It was awesome. If we ever get robbed, I'm going to send him out, okay? But I'm not going to ever get to do that if I don't start small. I might not ever get to do that. I might not ever want to do that. I probably don't. But it starts small. Say, Pastor, what is starting small with the Lord? It's getting up every single day and saying, you know what? I'm going to read my Bible today. I'm going to pray today. I'm going to establish, it might be 5 minutes, it might be 10 minutes, it might be half an hour, but I'm starting small. I'm going to be faithful today. I'm going to share my faith today. It's starting small. Getting up on Sunday when they're calling for snow and saying, you know what, I'm going to church anyway. It's not coming until the afternoon, so I'm going to church. It's making that decision. It's starting small. Don't worry about the big things. Do the little things. Well, Pastor, how can I know what God's will is for my life? How will I know if I'm following Him? Are you doing the small things? Are you doing the little things? Because I promise you, you'll never get to the big things if you're not doing the small things. Do the small things. I heard somebody say this past week, you know how God spells faith? God spells faith R-I-S-K. God spells faith R-I-S-K. If you're going to take a step of faith, there is going to be risk involved. There is going to be risk involved. It comes where we see in our life, faith is trusting in the Lord when we can't control, manipulate, alter the circumstances. We have to totally rely on the Lord, and it involves risk. You think about it, remember when the disciples said in Luke chapter 17, verse number 5, they asked Him to increase something? They said, Lord, increase our bank account. Increase our ministry effectiveness. Increase the crowds that come to hear our messages and see our miracle. No, they said, Lord, increase our faith. And that's the exact same thing that we need to pray today. Lord, increase our faith. I love Lee Robertson was asked years ago. Lee Robertson pastored Highland Park Baptist Church, Tennessee Temple College. It's where Brother Tim Coley went to college. Maybe some of you guys know someone who went to Tennessee Temple. In their heyday, thousands of students. The church was packed, booming. Thousands of people, scores of people getting saved. It was amazing ministry. Lee Robertson, the pastor of that ministry, was asked, Dr. Robertson, if you could go back and do it all over, what would you have done differently? You heard this story? He said, I would have had more faith. I would have had more faith. Hey, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. How strong this morning, church, how strong is your faith? And we need to fight temptations. Hey, my body does not want to get up and read my Bible. My body does not want to set aside time and pray. My body does not want to prioritize the things of God. My flesh fights against, we talked about that last week, fights against the things of the Spirit, but it is a fight. I have to fight for our faith. Number two, they were fighting not only for their faith internally, they were fighting for their families externally. On the outside, they were fighting for their families. When you look at how Nehemiah, look at verse number 13, how he has them positions. He says, I will even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. With their families. This is not just dad working on the wall. This is mom and dad. This is sons and daughters filling their position on the wall. You know what this did? It put a responsibility on the leader of the home. It put a responsibility on the fathers to be faithful because the strength, their safety of their family depended on their faithfulness on the wall. Hey, how is your personal faithfulness this morning? How strong is your family? If you don't have a strong family right now, you keep doing what you've been doing, you're going to keep getting what you got. We have to make a decision. When you look at your home, do you see something worth fighting for? Where I'm going to return to the wall, I'm going to make sure that my family is strong. Do you see something that's worth protecting? We know we live in a dark world. We know that there are opposing forces. We know that. But what are we doing specifically that will protect them from that darkness? I've heard people say to me personally, Pastor, you know, I don't want to indoctrinate my kids. I don't want to brainwash them. I want them to get old enough to where they make their own decisions. And you know, I want that decision to be something where it's their choice and not me forcing the Lord on them. Do you realize that someone is going to indoctrinate your kids? Somebody is going to brainwash your kids. Somebody is going to invest in their lives and speak into them, give them direction to follow. It ought to be you. Are you fighting for your home? To return to the wall, it requires a fight. It requires a decision. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. There's a leadership principle. But bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. While they were working, it reminded that family unit that dad sees this is important and it's something that we ought to do as a family together. Let me ask you, moms and dads, when's the last time your kids saw you read the Bible? When's the last time your grandkids saw you read the Bible? Hey, they need to see that this is important and it's worth fighting for. They need to see in our lives that we have made a conscious decision to return to the wall. No matter what's going on the outside, no matter what I'm going to face tomorrow at work, after my snow day is completed, it doesn't matter. I've got to make a decision that I am going to return to the wall. Psalm 127, verse 3, lo, children are heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the mighty hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. It's our job to raise our kids. It's our job one day to release our kids. But it's also our job to aim our kids, to point them in the direction that they should go. C.H. Spurgeon said, train up a child in the way he should go, but be sure you go that way yourself. We need to remember what we're fighting for. Number two, we see that we are to return to our specific place. Look at verse number 15. And it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we return all of us to the wall, everyone unto his work. They knew what was at stake. They knew what they were fighting for, but they were also afraid. If you go back to verse number 10, the Bible tells us that Nehemiah, after he had talked to the enemy, after he knew what they were conspiring against him, after he knew that, in verse number 10 it says, and Judah said, this is one of the tribes. This is one of the leading tribes of the nation of Israel. Look at what they said. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish so that we are not able to build the wall. Hey, there's too much damage, Nehemiah. There's too much decay. There's too many problems. We can't overcome. But look at verse number 11. Interesting. And our adversaries said. You see what this is? This is listening to the enemy. They listened, they pondered it, and they believed it. They listened. You know what the first step to avoiding falling into Satan's traps? Don't listen to his lies. Don't listen to his lies. He is a liar and the father of it. John 8, 44. So the first step to giving in to Satan is listening to him. Don't listen to him. Don't listen to his lies. But they listened. Look, the adversary said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst of them and slay them and cause the work to cease. Nehemiah, what's the point? What's the difference? What does it matter? Why bother? This is a waste of our time. I wrote this down. Think about it like this. By returning to the wall, following Jesus both internally and externally, you and I might not be able to make a difference in every home, but you can make a difference in your home. You might not be able to affect change in your neighbor's house three doors down. But by returning to the wall and focusing on our relationship with the Lord this year, you can make a difference in your home. You can impact your family, your kids, your spouse, yourself. You can make a difference. How did they make a difference on the wall? Verse number 17 says, they were all armed. All armed. It sounds like 2025. They were all armed. Nehemiah placed them all on the wall and gave them a task. Look, verse 17. They which builded on the wall, and they that bear burdens with those that laid it, every one of them with his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. Do you know that God has given you and I everything we need to fulfill his will for our lives? He's given us everything. Men, he's given us purpose. So, Pastor, I don't even know what my purpose is. Your purpose is to return to the wall. You have a spot on the wall that God has intended for you to build, to fight for your family, to fight for your faith. God has assigned a specific role for you to fulfill, a purpose for living. Are you fulfilling that purpose? He's given you people in your life that will encourage you and motivate you and push you and commend you and challenge you. He's given us those things. He's given us a spouse and a family to steward and to shepherd. Ladies, he's given you other ladies in your life to encourage you and to support you and rally around you and pray with you and pray for you and be there for you and giving you a task to fulfill. He's given us everything. And on top of all that, he's given us his word that helps guide us. Psalm 119 and verse 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." We think, well, you know, Pastor, I'm doing good on my own. I can figure it out on my own. I don't need help. Hey, in 2024, how'd that work out for you? Doing it all on your own. It never works out. We see in Proverbs 11, verse 14, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. Are you well equipped in your position on the wall? Are you ready for whatever the enemy throws at you? You know, they had one hand a sword, the other hand a trowel. They had a tool and a weapon. No matter what they faced, they would be ready for it. You know, I don't know about you, but the best time to read your Bible is when everything's going good. The best time to pray is when everything's going good. Why? We're prone to lean into the Lord when we need him. When everything's crashing down, when everything's crumbling, when we look around and see evidence that the wall's been broken down, that's when we lean into the Lord. But we need to be leaning in the Lord all the time because he's the same all the time. We need to show our dependence on him. Are you prepared for whatever the enemy throws your way? They were armed. Number two, they were all attentive. Look at verse number 18. For the builders, everyone had his sword girded by his side and so builded, which is great. Follow up for verse 17, but look at the end of verse 18. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. It wouldn't do them any good to be prepared if they weren't mindful of what was going on around them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 5 says, "Ye are the children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness." Verse 6, "Therefore, because of that, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Let us always be mindful of what's going on around us. Be aware of your surroundings." We've heard that in our society. Always be aware. As you're walking through the parking lot, there can be some creeper who is coming up behind you. Be aware of your surroundings. We know what that is. Hey, spiritually, be aware of your surroundings. Because we have an enemy that is on the prowl every single day. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, "Be sober, be alert, be vigilant, be aware, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." We have been equipped for battle, but it doesn't help you if you're asleep on the battlefield. We have to be aware. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." The trumpeter was there to sound the alarm, to let people know that there was a problem, and they had to be ready by listening, ready to defend what they were fighting for. You know, and as we live in this life, we've been entrusted to steward everything that we have. No, there is not God's stuff and my stuff. It's all his stuff. Everything that we've been entrusted to steward belongs to him. And we have to steward that well. The enemy wanted to distract them from what God had called them to do, to be faithful to the work. God sent them a leader. God gave them supplies. Nehemiah entrusted them, gave them everything they needed to thrive and to succeed, gave them motivation to do the work. And all they had to do was be busy. That's all they had to do. was get busy doing what God had challenged them to do. I don't know about you, but maybe 2024 was a wonderful year for you. It wasn't for me. 2024 was a struggle for me. This is just me being transparent this morning. Now, we're not live streaming this morning. It's just us. All right? 2024 was a struggle. Internally, emotionally, my mind playing tricks on me. 2024 was battles from outside the church, from people who didn't know all facts. Things inside the church that could distract me from what God had called me to do. But at the end of the day, my purpose is simply wake up every single day and go to the wall and do what he called me to do. That is my purpose. I am a shepherd. That's what God has called me to do. That is my role. And that might be different from what God's called you to do. But God has called all of us to go to our place on the wall and honor what he has called us to do. You know, that might be require seasons where we're fast-paced. That might be seasons where we're slow and we slow down. That might require seasons where we don't always get what we want. But at the end of the day, our objective is to follow him where he leads, not where we want to go. We all serve, we all lead, we all work differently. But are you, this morning, are you serving in your place on the wall? Maybe this morning you need to go back to the wall. Maybe you're outside the city. Maybe you're not even a part of God's family and you need to come in because the invitation is there. He wants you as a part of his family. We need to remember, and when we come to the wall, we need to remember what we're fighting for. Are you strengthening your faith? What things have you put into play this year? We'll talk more about that next week internally. What can we do as far as following Jesus, as far as our personal walk with him? Talk about that some next week. But what are you doing this year? What decisions have you made this year to draw closer to the Lord with your faith? What are you doing to protect your family in a greater way in 2025 than you did last year? You know, we think about going back to our specific place. What is your specific place? What has God called you to do? Are you fulfilling what he's called you to do? But then number three, we see that we need to be ready. When we come to the wall, when we return back to our place, we need to be ready to help someone else. Verse number 19 through 21. Remember in verse 18, as we close out verse 18, Nehemiah mentioned that there was a trumpeter at his side. He wasn't just there to show off his trumpeting skills. He had a specific purpose. And in verse number 19 through 21, it tells us how they were to respond when the trumpet sounded. Look at verse number 19. We see number one, there was much to do. Look at verse 19. And I said, Nehemiah, unto the nobles and to the rulers, to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. When you think about the fact that they did this task, these few people built this wall, rebuilded this wall in 52 days. In Nehemiah chapter 6, it tells us that they finished the work in 52 days, which is amazing. But the fact, when we think about historically how big the wall was, and they finished all of it in 52 days, is astounding. The wall was 5 to 7 feet thick, and the circumference of the city was 2.5 miles around. This is not a small project. This is not a weekend project. All right, well, you know, I'm going to take a honey-do list, 4 or 5 hours on Saturday, a few hours Sunday afternoon, we're going to be done. 52 days. But how big this project was. And they finished it, all because of what Nehemiah said in Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse number 6. He said, for the people had a mind to work. You know what that tells us? They weren't afraid of the task. They were totally committed to their objective. They were totally all in, but it required everyone's help. Everyone on board, everyone working together, everyone doing their part and being in their place along the wall. J.D. Greer said it like this: ordinary people, people with problems and faults and stubborn habits and personal weakness, can be used mightily in the mission of God because it's not about their abilities to do things for God, but about his ability to work through them. You know, as we head into 2025, are you in your place on the wall? There's a lot to do. You think about people in our area who need Christ. There's a lot to do. You think about personal goals that you have. There's a lot to do. Are you in your place on the wall? Not only is there much to do, number two, we see there were a lot of gaps. Verse number 20 and 21. In what place, therefore, ye hear the sound of the trumpet? Remember that trumpeter. Resort ye thither unto us. Our God shall fight for us. So we labored in the work, and half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. You know, you think about this is a relatively small group of people who are working on the wall together. You know, what they seemingly had was an impossible task, but they all fulfilled it together. But when that trumpeter sounded, they were told to stop what you're doing and go provide reinforcements for someone else at another place on the wall. That was their role. They would set down their tool, they would pick up their weapon, and they all charged that same point where the trumpeter was sounding. That was their job because there were a lot of gaps. There were places along the wall where there wasn't anyone, where they were susceptible to the attack of the enemy, and they had to be ready at a moment's notice to go into action. You know what he taught them? If someone needs help, we should all be willing to fill in the gaps of others. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 2 says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Come alongside someone and help support their section of the wall. You know, we look at Crossroads Baptist Church in 2025, just right out of the gate, going into the brand new year, there are some holes. There are some gaps in the wall. There are some places where we need people to serve. And there are people in this room, and that will be in the room in the 10:30 hour, that you have been equipped to serve. You have been equipped for battle. See, Crossroads Baptist Church is not looking for more members. We're looking for more servants. We're looking for people who will say, "I'll fill my spot on the wall. I'll step up. I'll fill that gap. I'll do what needs to take place. I'll fill in because I want to return to the wall. I want to be involved in what God is doing." You do realize we get to see God work every single week here. This is not a thing where we show up on Sunday morning and we hope that God's going to do something today. We show up every Sunday morning and we expect God to do something. Every single week, we expect to see Him work. We're excited and we anticipate it. Who wouldn't want to be a part of that? Hey, I want a piece of that. I want to be involved in that. And when we talk about this morning, how do you return to the wall? How do you fill in your gap or a gap on the wall? You got a card this morning on the way in. Looks just like this. You got a card on the morning. It has all kinds of opportunities for you to serve. Now listen, if you're serving in 17 places right now, don't pick number 18. Okay? That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about, are you serving at all? You know, there's a card right in front of you in your chair that says, "I'm ready to make a decision." We look at that card every single week, and we've gotten used to seeing it there. But you realize it's there for all of us every single week? Because it's not just about, well, man, Pastor, I got saved. Yeah, I got baptized. Yeah, I served. I went through discipleship. Yeah, I've done all that stuff. So I don't need to bother with that card. Hey, if God speaks to your heart, grab that card and tell somebody. It's all about what has God spoken to me about today. Today. Do you think if God does something awesome in your heart and life, that somebody would want to hear about that? Do you think, this is your time to speak, yes or no? Yes. Okay, let's try that again. I'll ask it a different way. If God speaks to your heart on a Sunday morning and says, "Hey, do this," and you surrender, you say, "Man, I want to do that. Lord, you've spoken to me. You've been faithful, better than I deserve. And you spoke to me and you showed me that I need to do something different." Do you think somebody else would be excited and encouraged for you that you submitted or surrendered yourself to the Lord for whatever He called you to be? You think people would be excited about that? Yes or no? Yes. There you go. Fill out the card. There you go. All right. But service. What is God leading you to do? Because we have some holes in our ministry. We have some gaps on the wall. Everything from kids' ministries. Hey, all pastors, you know, we hear about this all the time. I don't like kids. But we are investing in the next generation. Hey, everything in my investment portfolio, I don't like. But I'm making an investment. You know, I don't agree with every single thing that these kids do and they say, but we're making an investment. We're investing in the future. Return to the wall. You know, we've got some spots in music. You say, well, Pastor, you definitely don't want me in the music program. But we're called to make a joyful noise. You might not be on the platform in the music program, but you could encourage somebody else in the seat. Because when we sing together, we're sharing the truths of God's word with each other, and we're reminding each other that it's true. Return to the wall. What about being a greeter? What about all of these different options? Being involved in a group, being involved behind the scenes in media or on the safety team or connecting in a group, going out visiting people who are shut in, working in different areas, working with single parents. All of those things. There's gaps in the wall. And we need people, hey, this morning. I'm not saying pray about it for 5 years and then ask the Lord, you know, Lord, if you paint it in the sky, I'll do it. God's already written it in his word. He doesn't need to paint it in the sky. There you go. So today, if you've walked away because of fear, return to the wall. If you've walked away because of a lack of faith, return to the wall. If you walked away because you're out of fellowship, return to the wall. If you've walked away because of a fantasy, maybe you believe something that ended up not being true, hey, return to the wall. If you walked away because of failure, return to the wall. If you walked away because of the foe and the enemy who is creeping around the wall, hey, if you walked away because of him, return to the wall. If you walked away because it's your last time, you said, this is all finality, this is fatal, this is not something that I want to be a part of this morning, return to the wall. Are you going to allow the distractions around you to disrupt what God is trying to do within you? God expects, listen, church, God expects us to follow him. And that requires being at our place on the wall. Whatever that looks like for your life, whatever that sounds like, whatever he leads you to do, can I, as your friend, encourage you to do what he says? Return to the wall. In a year of distractions, in a year of opposition, and we're in a new year, first Sunday of the new year, could we just commit together this morning that no matter what comes, I'm going to return to the wall. No matter what that looks like, Lord, if you show me what that looks like, I'll do it. I'll be in my place. I'll serve. I'll fulfill your plan for my life. Hey, it's not about fulfilling somebody else's plan for their life. God has something specifically for you to do. Don't worry about somebody else. Are you going to take your place on the wall? Let's bow our heads and pray together this morning. You know, if you're outside the city gates, figuratively, and there's never been a time in your life where you've trusted Jesus as your personal Savior, your first step is to come to him. To come, because he's offered you an invitation to be a part of his family. And this morning, as your friend, let me challenge you to come home where he's called you to be. Maybe you've never had a relationship with Jesus. Maybe you've never seen his presence in your life. Maybe you don't know what that relationship would look like. This morning, would you talk to him right there in your seat? He loves you. He came and lived a perfect life. He died on the cross to take your penalty. All of us are sinners. We all deserve death in a place the Bible calls hell, to be separated from God forever because of our sin. But Jesus came so that we would never have to experience that fate. And all that is required is a step of faith, simply acknowledging where the Bible says we already are as sinners, already separated from God. You didn't have to do anything. You were born into this. We were all born sinners. And Jesus did all the work. All we have to do is take him at his word. And if you've never done that this morning, would you take him at his word and simply accept what he offers in salvation? We have personal workers that are standing in the back. Would love to pray with you, encourage you, challenge you, whatever you need today. We want to be a help and a blessing and minister but are you in the family? Number two, are you at the wall? Are you in your place on the wall? Maybe God is challenging you, whether it's a place of service or maybe just faithfulness. Maybe you're saying, you know, I'm not even reading my Bible. I need to do the little things. I don't even have a prayer life. I don't know what that looks like. I'm not faithful. Hey, do the little things. God will speak to you and show you the big things when we surrender to do the little things. So are you in your place? Maybe it's a service opportunity. Maybe there's something on the card that you know the Lord wants you to be a part of. Hey, would you return to your place on the wall? Would you talk to him about that? Asking him to show you what that looks like, what that is. This morning, if you leave this morning, you take that card, say, hey, I want to be involved. I want to sign up. I want to do something. I want to serve. You can drop off that card on the way out this morning. Somebody will contact you and tell you how you can get in your place on the wall. But this morning, can we just commit that we are going to be in our place on the wall? Father, thank you so much for your word. Lord, I ask that you please speak to us. Show us how we're to draw close to you this year as we start out fresh and anew. Lord, help us to know what that looks like. And Lord, I ask that you please help us to draw close to you. We're going to sing in just a moment, but Lord, help us to have that attitude in our heart. And if it needs a change, maybe I haven't been faithful, maybe I haven't been in my place, whatever that looks like, Lord, help me to be willing to surrender and submit to your leading in my life. Change my heart, oh God. Draw me close to you. Lord, I ask that you please speak to all of us this morning. As we take just a moment and pray together, we're going to sing in just a moment. Let's just have a quiet time of reflection. If you need to come and pray, you can. Pray there in your seat, but we'll sing in just a minute. But before we sing, let's just have a quiet moment where we talk to the Lord about what he's been talking to us about.